Hi, I'm Ozzy. Welcome to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast. I believe that stories are powerful, and by sharing, we can grow together. That's why I created the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast, to share the unique stories and experiences of African immigrants abroad. Each week, you'll hear topics pertaining to education, healthcare, and career choices, or just pure banter. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Do you know that about one in every three people in the United States listen to at least one podcast every month? That's millions of people listening. And do you also know that every month, thousands of podcast listeners listen to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast? Well, do you have a business, service, or event that you would love others to hear about? Then look no further. To promote your services on the podcast, send an email to talesbydrozzy@gmail.com today. Or you can visit our website at www.talesofanafricanprincessinamerica.com. Hi guys, welcome. My name is Ozzy. Of course, in the studio today, I also have the Honorable Ademola. Welcome, baby.
Okay.
Good. I've been wanting to do an interview with you for the longest, but your schedule has been a little bit crazy. What's been going on, really? You've had meetings. I've been trying to, I think now we have to schedule it into your calendar where I'm like, okay, this week you're going to be on the podcast. Really?
Well, I mean, it's just been busy with school and work. So, yeah, I'm here now, so you might as well.
Okay, well, welcome back from your busy life, and I'm super stoked to have you here. So last week, we didn't have a podcast episode because my life just went like from 0 to 120 in like, you know, it was a little crazy.
I think we all heard about it.
Like, I don't really know why you don't... See, I'll ride this wave till I get tired of it.
No, I have no issues with it. Go ahead.
Okay. So every time I say Canada now, it's no, like, your face is because... But yeah, last week, I got to visit the great Canada that everyone has been telling me about. And honestly, before this time, I was also thinking that, you know, what's the big deal about this Canada?
Why is everyone, just like flying to another state. So I don't know.
Don't hate. Okay, fly to another state because you're in America. Mm-hmm. Imagine people who are in Nigeria who are, their head is a big rush now to go to Canada. So let's not act like it's not a big deal. Okay. We all know that it's a big deal to go to Canada. Okay. And when I told you I was going to Canada, you now started watching The Office. So you started watching the episodes where Michael Scott went to Canada.
Yeah.
And you kept watching that over and over. I'm like,
because I love that episode so much. It's an episode where Michael Scott is given an assignment, a sales assignment in Canada, somewhere probably like Quebec or something.
I'm not sure where it was. Yeah.
And it just kind of like shows, you know, how, I don't say it's ridiculous or anything, but it's not that big a deal, to be honest. It's just kind of, it's just like how many... Well, your flight was a little longer because you were going somewhere further in. You were going to Victoria. I don't know where Victoria is, but it's West Coast.
That's exactly the point. That last thing you said is exactly the point. You don't know where it is. Yeah. Let me give you guys a little background because now we're going into the whole... So I got to go to Canada last week. And I didn't know... Well, I'll continue to tell everyone. And I didn't know that I was going to Canada until like a few hours before I left, right? Mm-hmm. So what had happened was I came home from work that day. I was super tired. I was like ready to, you know, get some food. And I actually planned to take out my hair that day, like wash my hair. Now, to someone else listening who is like, what's the big deal in washing your hair? It's a big deal. Now, when an African-American or an African person tells you they're going to wash their hair, it does not mean that they're just going to get out of the shower and just run water and maybe shampoo or something their hair. No, it means I'm going to detangle. It means I'm going to deep condition. There's so many steps to it that it's not... When I said I'm going to do that today, it means that the whole of this evening is about my hair.
Right.
You know? And so that was my plan, just to eat, wash my hair, and then, you know, do some work. But then I got a call from my mentor, right? And she was just like, hey... Because she had traveled to Canada the previous day. And there was a meeting there. She was supposed to speak at the meeting. But when she got to Canada, there was a family emergency, and she had to fly all the way back.
Right.
So when she called me, she was like, you won't believe I'm back in the US, but I still need someone to speak for me. So she's like, do you mind going to Canada to give that talk that I was supposed to give? And I was just like, but when? And she's like, well, if you say yes, you have to leave tomorrow. I was like, can I call you back? And she's like, sure. And before she hung up, she was like, you have everything it takes. It's not a big deal. Like, you can do this. So then I turned to you.
A small ginger.
I know, right? And I turned to you and you were kind of like semi-listening to the conversation because you were kind of close by. But then I explained everything to you and you're just like, go. I was kind of taken aback because I was like, my hair. You were like, don't you have a wig? Yeah, because I was worried about my hair. I was like, I already took it out and things right. like that. And you were like, well, don't you have a wig that you can wear? And I was like, well, but you told me that this is what you prayed for and it's happening. And now you're giving excuses. Go, you know? And I called her back. And long story short, the next day I was on the first flight out to Canada.
Right.
What really stuck out to me was you just saying go. Like, why did you say just go like that?
I mean, you might be glossing over some of the details. The process of actually getting to where you were getting to was kind of onerous because, number one, and I was thinking that it was, when I said go,
mm-hmm.
I said go on the assumption that you were just going to, like, Toronto or something.
Okay.
And, you know, I just assumed it would be, like, a couple of hours, you know, and then you'd be back, you know. But I didn't know where Victoria, I didn't know where British Columbia was, and that was much longer. That's like that flight was like, you know, going across the Atlantic. It was like, how many hours was one way? Over 12 hours.
So no, it was not over 12 hours. No, the trip to Seattle was like five hours at most, and then
no, I'm saying like so the entire trip plus.
Oh yeah, it was like 12 hours. Yeah, because the trip from Seattle to Kelowna was about 1 hour, and then from Kelowna to British Columbia was another 1 hour. So it was like, if I had taken a straight flight, I don't know how the connection would have been, but yeah, it did take me 12 hours from the time I left my house to actually get it in Victoria. And then of course I didn't even add the taxi drive to the hotel itself,
because it's an island.
Victoria is an island. Yeah, but one thing that taught me last week was just being ready and just staying ready, you know. At the start of the year, I kind of prayed for all these opportunities. You know, I was like, God, this is my year, you know. Mm. I want this to happen and that to happen. But I didn't realize how those things would actually happen. And as I was in the plane, just taking that ride out to Victoria, I was thinking to myself that every single time that my life has literally changed, or every single time that I've been presented with an opportunity that has changed the course of my career or something, it's always been like that, just like that,
right.
Like a phone call or something. And so when I talk to people, when I talk especially to younger people and younger audiences, I always tell them to be ready, because you never really know, you know, how your life will change or how things will happen, you know, or the exact path that you're going to be on that will right. bring about that change. Right. It just pays to be ready. I just feel like if you weren't here, I probably would have said no, because that day, honestly, that day was just the worst day to ask me to do anything, because I was hungry as anything. My hair was a mess. And I just felt like it was last minute, you know.
I mean, sometimes you tend to just, and this is how we all are, we always tend to need some form of positive reinforcement, and that can come from, you know, friends, family, a phone call or a text message, or, you know, whatever, WhatsApp message or whatever, to motivate us to do the things that we know we're actually good at doing. And I think that was one of those kind of days where yes, you know, we get into a space where we're rationalizing why we shouldn't do the things that are expected of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, we're tired, you know.
Actually, my main thing was just my hair. I don't know, for some reason, mm-hmm. I was just like, oh my God, my hair, you know. Mm-hmm. But when my hair was, when you were like, don't you have a wig? I'm like, oh my God, I have several. And then I was like, oh, but I haven't packed a bag. And you were just like, but you always have a travel on a bag that's kind of semi-packed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you started like helping me.
You always leave one room a mess whenever you're traveling. Let me just put that out there, because I don't even know what you're packing everything. Just
now that you have said that to the
just whole leave podcast, everywhere community. Upside down, mm-hmm. you know, for one bag.
Well, you don't understand, you're not a girl, so you don't know what it takes to travel. Like, I have options.
Sorry,
I have clothes, that outfits, that's another thing. I pack too much,
but pack and then you won't even wear.
Okay, let me even gist you. So when I even got to Canada, and I realized that wow, there's so much space in this country, but their planes are really small. So because where I was going to was an island, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to take these small planes, and mm-hmm. then the bag I had packed for carry-on,
mm-hmm.
which in the United States is carry-on, I got to Canada and they were like, this is too much for a carry-on. I was like, huh?
So they made me prop plane. You're getting on a much smaller plane.
Yeah, and they made me uncheck in my bag, and I was like, oh Lord. But when I got to Canada, I had like 2-3 outfits that I didn't wear. But listen, I would rather have those options, I'm telling you. Okay. I've been somewhere where I took exactly what I needed, and when I got there, I was like, I hated what I took, and I was just like, I wish I had options. So it's always good to have another option, you know.
I'll give you this pass, because it was last minute.
Oh, but yeah.
Let's just, you know, let's just move on.
Anyway, so when I got there, I met really, really, like, it was a Keystone conference. They were really, like, the top people in my field. And it was so enlightening. I learned so much. I was like, wow. And then I got to stay in a really nice hotel. Stayed in the Empress, Fairmont Empress. And so I learned about, like, the history of the place. Mm-hmm. It was so beautiful. One of the things I was actually worried about was that I wasn't going to enjoy the trip because we were not there.
I don't know why you did.
Seriously. I was worried about it, like, really worried, because I'm not really the explore your surroundings type. I can actually sit in my hotel room and enjoy just being in a different environment. But I was just like, okay, I need to enjoy this trip, because I know that when I come back, I have to tell you where I went to. Because you're going to be like, what did you do? Where did you go? And things like that. So I was just like, okay, I'm going to go out and things like that. But as soon as I stepped out, I found myself talking to tourists. And it was like unpretentious conversations, right, where you know that at the end of this conversation, I'm not exchanging numbers with you. Mm-hmm. You're going to be gone in thin air. But I just want to connect with you on this level here and now. And I felt like that was so good. I got to talk to different people. I even asked people who were passing by to take pictures of me. So if you see any pictures on my social media, I asked a stranger to take that picture, and it turned out into a nice conversation, and it was really, really nice. I would totally live in Canada. Well, then again, I only went to a tourist area.
Yeah, that's where you want to move to. I mean, you know, and there's a whole, you know, section of traveling, you know, that has to do with, like, traveling alone. There's a friend's podcast I actually listened to. It kind of talks about, you know, people that travel alone, what you do. I saw someone post a picture of some place that they went to in Turkey. What she did was that she got a photographer to take, like, professional pictures. Mm-hmm. And all she did was that she just asked for the raw images, and then she edited herself. So, I mean, there are many ways that, you know, you can travel alone. There's one thing that I suggest.
Me, that I like pictures now.
Yeah. You know, I guess it's applicable to anyone that does so. I found a little, you know, a cool thing that Google does is that if you type in a location, at least on mobile, it would show you the things that you can do. Mm-hmm. So it would tell you, do you want to walk, you know, do you want to do a walking tour? Do you want to, you know, drive around? And it would just kind of, like, map out some locations that you can check on. I think that's what you might have done. To see, or and of course having conversations with people that are around.
Yeah.
You know, just see, like, because I think you were close up here.
Yeah, my hotel was right. I don't want to talk too much about Canada, because every time I talk about Canada, I don't know what that is. Your
it's just, I've heard enough.
My podcast listeners have not heard.
This podcast is the last time I hear of this.
Podcast listeners haven't heard about
my
trip.
Okay. So, so like I said, you know, you there are tons of ways that you can enjoy yourself on your own. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're very outgoing. You know how to talk to strangers. Not strangers, but you know how to talk to other people. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I guess that, you know, it would be a little easier for you.
Oh yeah. I did have a good time, I have to tell you. I did have a good time, and I'm thankful that I took the opportunity, because a lot of times when we get opportunities, we think that they're gonna come with probably someone blowing a trumpet and saying your name and, like, this is an opportunity, you know? But most of the time it doesn't come like that. Sometimes it's unpaid internships, you know, you have an offer to learn something new from somewhere, but it's not gonna be paid. And you're just thinking to yourself, like, I could never do that. What? I'm actually gonna spend my own money to learn this thing, you know? But you never really know. So you must always weigh the benefits of every opportunity that you get. And thankfully I have someone like you who reminds me of what opportunities really are. Mm-hmm. What opportunities really are, because sometimes I tend to miss that, where I'm just so focused on my task at the moment that I miss that. And so I'm thankful that I didn't miss that at all. I do like Canada. I could totally live there. If I had to live there, I would. It's so peaceful. At least where I went to was very peaceful. Of course, I was on a work trip, so it wasn't like I was spending my money or anything. So when you're not spending your money, everything is stress-free. Everything is wonderful when you're not spending your own money. And I'm also really grateful that I got to talk with people around. I got to share my research with a few groups. And it's Rare Disease Month, actually. And the 28th, which is tomorrow, actually, is Rare Disease Day. And I'm also giving another talk tomorrow. So I've given so many talks in a few days. But tomorrow I'm going to be giving another talk. And I'm super excited that I get to share this aspect of my life with people, because I feel like the work that we do makes an impact, and it's very humbling when people invite you to talk about that work. So when I went to this last meeting, I was actually talking to one of the attendees of the meeting in British Columbia. Sorry, I have to keep bringing that up, baby. I'm sorry, it's part of my life now.
Go on.
Have you been to Canada before?
Just please, go continue.
Anyway, I found a new show on Netflix, Love is Blind. And that show blew my mind. I stayed up late last night just watching. I was so tempted to keep watching it, but I was just like, okay, I have this presentation to give tomorrow. I'm going to focus on that. You know what I'm going to be doing this weekend is just binging on Love is Blind. Mm. It's really good. What do you think about that? Like the practicality of it. I know for entertainment-wise, it's great because I'm like, this idea is good.
I saw some parts of, I didn't watch the entire thing, but I know of it, and it's like a really big craze right now because a lot of people are watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it kind of makes sense. It hits a little too close to the nose because we're in a long distance relationship for a while, and basically what they are trying to promote there is building an emotional connection with, you know, someone that you don't.
In three weeks,
and you know, you don't get to see them. How long is that?
Let me explain this process. So, they invite guys and girls, right, to the show. And they put them in separate areas so the guys don't see the girls.
Mm-hmm.
So, the guys and the girls, they each get into these pods, little rooms, right, where you can talk to someone kind of through the wall.
Right.
They have something they put there, though. So, you get to know people. It's like you're going on several blind dates.
Right.
But so, you're rotating all the guys and all the girls, right? And you have a notepad. And so, you're talking to each person. They want you to get to form a connection with people. Because a lot of times, people have this list of things that they want in partners, right, where they want tall, dark, and handsome. But how about the personality? How about what's on the inside?
They're not really looking at that. They're just, you know.
A lot of times, people dismiss people, too, because of the way they look. So, a lot of girls say, can't date the short guy, you know, things like that, and they're trying to remove that superficial layer, and you get to know someone. But however, it's 1 week, I think, in the pods or something like that. Yeah, I think it's 1 week in the pods, and then you, at the end of you must propose to someone, and so based on those conversations, people get proposed to, and then they whisk them off to a nice resort in Mexico. Actually, I checked it out. I think we should go there. It's really nice. I'm just saying, Sha. I really like it. I've been researching it. Actually, that place is really, really nice. Is that the new excuse now?
Yes. Okay. I mean, yeah, we can check it out, sure.
Okay. And you promised me another one.
Sure. Look, I've heard.
You said there's another one we'll go to in the Gatlinburg. One, we have not gone. People are listening now. We have still not gone. That was from Valentine's Day. Anyway, so they whisk them off to that nice. So it's still like a honeymoon phase. So they take their phones from them and they say, "Here, you guys that proposed to each other, go and form these bonds now."
Was it everyone that proposed to each other?
Of course, either their proposals fell through, or I'm not going to give it out here.
Yeah, but okay.
Their proposals fell through, or they saw the person and they were after a while. They're not really.
Not what I expected.
So after he proposes to you through the pod, through that fake isolated room, you then meet each other.
Mm-hmm.
And for most people, it was like magnet, right?
Mm-hmm.
For some people, that you could tell they were disappointed, like you know. Okay, so then they get to that nice resort, and then they spend I don't know whether it was a weekend or a week, but to get to know each other a little bit more. Now, as I was watching that thing, everything in me was just shouting, "This is a good idea!" But I was like,
"Wow!"
After the resort, then they move in together to start living together, and then they plan the wedding. So the wedding is going to happen in 4 weeks.
Huh.
The date has been set. Okay. Basically, now your family doesn't even know that you went for game show.
Ah.
But so after the honeymoon phase, you're going to introduce them to your family and then plan the wedding and everything. And so they're just trying to see what will come of it, you know. And I was just like, this is a rest. People's hearts are going to be broken.
Well, I mean, there's some people that have been, you know, actively dating and maybe they won't find the one. And here you have two people who are ready to get married. You know, it's not a question of, you know, let's see how it goes. That's the aim of the show, right? The aim of the show is to get married to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And at least both of, you know, a guy, a girl, they're mentally prepared for marriage.
Mm.
So that's just, you know, one thing that's kind of taken care of.
Yeah, but the fact that two people are ready for marriage doesn't mean they're ready for marriage to each other.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
sure.
I was thinking that this is such a simplistic way of making a complex institution seem very easy, really. It's not as easy as it looks.
Right.
It's not, there's so much, there are different layers to it. I feel like, yes, you get to know someone in a short period.
Mm-hmm.
But can you really get to know someone in a short period?
I mean, and, you know, I think there are people that actually make a connection, like a very deep connection within weeks or months, right?
Where you get to know everything about their character.
Not everything. Clearly, yeah, you can't learn everything. It's even in marriage, you're still learning, you know, new things, and you're still trying to understand your partner.
Now you open your eyes at me.
I'm looking at you. So
we need to call Verizon.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, there's still a lot of that. So it doesn't take anything away from, you know, saying that a 2 week old relationship or a 3 month old relationship doesn't stand up to like a 2 year old relationship where you're with someone for 2 years.
Mm.
So it's just sometimes, you know, just things.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
There are people who have been dating for years,
right,
and they're still not going to go anywhere. Yes. Like that. And then when the girl gets upset, the guy gives her a ring, and that becomes a little shackle on her to mm-hmm. kind of keep her, you know. And there are people who are going to meet in a short time, right, and they're going to form that bond. So I'm really excited about the show, and I want to see where it goes. I feel like from an entertainment stance, it's very entertaining, but I do also know that emotions are going to be involved, people's hearts are going to be broken, and I feel for them in that aspect. But I think it's a really good show. I think Netflix did a good one with that one, so you guys check it out. It's Love is Blind, and it's really good. Like, they didn't pay me to say this, but I just watched three episodes, and I'm like, wow, this is good. I'm in, because a different kind of entertainment, and I wish them luck. I just want to see where it goes. Yeah,
I think some people have actually been doing some online sleuthing of trying to find out who's still together. But anyway, I mean, watch it. You know, the good thing about Netflix is that you get to see, you know, you don't have to wait week on week to you know, you can watch everything, you can binge watch everything, you know,
yeah. And I think season one is complete, so
yeah,
you should be able to see everything on there. Yeah, so you guys, my message for you today is, out of all this ranting and banter and everything that we've said, is stay ready. Opportunities are gonna come. They may not always be dressed in the way that you want them to look, or they may not always be dressed like opportunities. It might just be something that is a, you know, get a phone call on a long day after a long day, and you're just like, I'm too tired. Is this an opportunity? But I really want you to know that those opportunities will come. And when it comes, I hope you're ready. I hope you have people that will push you like Ade did for me this past week. And I really appreciate that, actually. I like the way that you, as an elder, you sit down.
She's an elder.
And you see what the child cannot see from. Oh, I'm just kidding.
Mm.
But I appreciate that you actually did that for me, because when I got there, I was like, wow, I wouldn't have liked to miss this. So I'm glad that I actually made it out here. So you guys stay ready. When those opportunities come, take them. You know, weigh the options and take them. Of course, safely take opportunities and see where it goes from there.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Sounds good. Check out my YouTube channel, African Princess in America. I've created a special channel for immigration talks, because a lot of people still send me messages and ask, you know, about this, how I got my green card and things like that. And, you know, I've had the pleasure, actually, of having about 5 people now turn in the applications who have gone through my book.
Excellent.
Yeah. And so there are other people who have bought the book as well, who are in the process of preparing the applications. So many people reach out to me from that, from the green card series, actually. Right. Someone actually reached out to me to feature me on her page, and she was talking about how they always thought that you'd have to go from an F1 visa to H1B and then get a green card.
Right.
I had gone from an F1 visa to a green card, and she was just like, how, you know? And she was asking me an interesting question. She said, why don't people know about this? And I was thinking about it, like, why don't people know about it? I found out because my friend told me. Mm. That was how she got her green card in. But even when she told me, it was a very, like, whisper. She kind of whispered it to me. She's like, don't tell anybody kind of thing. But I'm like, why? Why don't you want to tell anybody?
The thing, and, you know, one critique I would have for the U.S. immigration system is that it's complex.
Mm.
It's both simple and complex at the same time. And I know that sounds a little silly, but there are a lot of things that are out there that it just takes some time to actually research. To find out, you know, the entire process, you know, the availability, I mean, the, you know, how to be eligible for, you know, whatever type of immigration. Because there are a ton of, you know, types of ways to get.
Once I started researching, I found out so many ways.
You have religious workers.
Investor visa.
Yeah.
Green card. But of course, not everyone has that money.
Yeah, they're the work visas, which are under, like, different categories. The work-based visas, which are under, like, another ton of subcategories.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, and there's a family-based.
I think nobody has really laid it out.
Yeah. That's
why, because a lot of people are having these conversations in secret. Because the person who told me in hushed tones, and she was like, I'm telling you because I know that you qualify. And she's like, when you're ready to do it, this is my lawyer's number.
Right.
But me, I didn't have money to use lawyers. Mm. So when I was ready, I was like, I read a little bit more, and I was like, I'm going to do this myself, you know?
Mm.
I wish that more people will share the information that they have. Honestly, that's the problem that we have. There's a lot of people hear stuff, and they just, you know, they don't tell anybody about it. They just want to be the only ones to get visa that way. Someone reached out to me while I was in Canada again.
Oh.
And And she was telling me that she had told her boyfriend about this, and her boyfriend was like, it cannot be real that people do all these kind of things and then they come and say that they did something else. And you know, and one thing I would encourage you guys to do is, if you haven't already gotten my book is available through my website, and I have the link in my show notes right here. However, you have the option to get the free version of the book. So I have a free, like a sample of the book that you can download and kind of read through briefly and see what it's about before you know if you actually want to get the full ebook, if you want to have the paid version. Now, the paid version has the steps, everything, every single thing that I did. And so I encourage you to actually go on my website. Oh my God, so many people have downloaded that free version. And I'm just like, wow, people are just out there with our information. But you guys go ahead and download that free version and see if you actually need the book. This is a merit-based system, so you need to qualify. It's not only for people in sciences, it's for arts, science, business. As long as you can show you're exceptional, you're in. All right, so I encourage you to go on my website, Tales of an African Princess in America /immigration, and you can see all the details, how to get the free version. And if you want to get the paid version as well, yeah, you can go ahead and do that there.
Just to kind of like reemphasize that point, it's for pretty much all professionals. So you have to have an advanced degree.
You have to have an advanced degree, that's number one. Uh-huh. An advanced degree is not PhD. It's actually bachelor's degree.
But didn't this lady get one of the EB categories?
Who?
Melania Trump.
Let's not go there. Let's not go there at all.
I mean, again, she hasn't really disclosed what exactly she did.
She got EB1. So they're different categories. Yeah. So you can apply EB1, EB2. EB1 is reserved for people who are exceptional. Like when I looked at the category, it's like Nobel Prize winners, people like that.
And you know, you can, if you're a model, if you're an actor, those kind of things.
Yeah, if you have international recognition, yes. I would definitely go for EB1. I realized I could have applied for EB1 as well. So if you're like a postdoc out there, you're a grad student, you're doing exceptional work, you can either go with EB1 or EB2 actually. But I went with EB2 because I was for sure, I knew that I felt like I met all the criteria. I'm just presenting the one that I did that worked. I know how the system works with that. That's what I presented.
And again, like I said, you don't have to have a PhD.
You don't have to be in the sciences.
Yeah, you don't have to be in sciences. It's all really about you just like presenting your case.
Yes. So the cool thing about
you
don't have to have So when I say exceptional, handshake from the president? No. Exceptional means that in your field you stand out, basically. However, the metrics are of measuring success in your field, and you can show that, oh, based on my field, this is how we show that we're successful, and I am. That's it. It's how well you tell the story. The key to a successful application is how you craft your petition letter. Mm-hmm. That's the key. And that's what I present in my ebook. I have over 100 Microsoft Word documents that you can actually, templates that you can actually replace, put your details and use those templates, right? Mm-hmm. I show you exactly how to write that petition letter. I show you how to lay out the facts, how to, you know. So if you got an award, you can include that. Right. If you have publications, you can include that. If you've been a judge in like a school project, you can include that. If you have anything to show that you have done some work of merit in your area, in your field, that's to show that you're exceptional. And right. It's pretty cool that way. Yeah. And the cool thing about it is, again, back to my Canada trip, I was able to go to Canada with my green card. That was actually, I was like, oh my God. So you know how I found out the day before that I was going to Canada?
Hey, you were thinking that, how am I going to?
I was like, how will I apply
for this? Who will never come back?
No
return.
No, I was thinking that, what is the process of going to Canada on a green card?
Right.
I think I'll make a YouTube video about that, just so people know. Because once you have a green card, it's very easy to go to Canada and see another country. And travel is good. Travel is good. I look forward to going on my next trip with you. Mm-hmm. I really felt that you should have come on that trip. But you were like, you know, this is last minute for you. You had work to do and things like that. But it was beautiful. It was a honeymoon location. Like, I was like, everything here is a honeymoon. And I wish I went with you because, you know, but next time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Next time. All right, guys. Now you know why I went to Canada. The whole message in this podcast episode is be prepared. Mm-hmm. Stay ready. Stay pumped. Everything is going to change, but it's going to change in a twinkle of an eye. And if you're not ready, if you don't have those qualifications, they're going to ask someone else. So go ahead right now. I know you're in some kind of calculus class. You don't even know why you're taking this class. A lot of people say that, and that irks my nerves. When I hear people say, I studied calculus in school and I'm not even using it. I feel like that is it's not a good way to think, really. You know why? Because not everything you learn is about that thing directly.
Right.
Not everything you learn is about that thing. Some things are character building.
Right.
And we have those where I work. When people come, part of the onboarding is we tell them to take a long course, right? Mm-hmm. An online course, and I can see, we can see their faces changing, you know? And my boss always tells me, this is character building, you know? Sometimes the class that you're in, the purpose of that class is for you to meet another person in that class who's going to be instrumental to your success, or whose success you are going to be instrumental in, right? So it's not always about the subject matter. It's not always about going to that class and learning something that you're going to then apply directly to your everyday life. Of course, you're not going to be applying calculus to your everyday life, but it's just learning how to survive in that environment, learning, picking out the abstract skills in that environment or lessons.
That's, I think that's the story, and applying them. That's the story of many undergrad degrees, but again, it's a longer conversation.
I took a class in food microbiology or ecology or something like that, and honestly, I don't remember anything from that class. Mm-hmm. The only thing I remember is how awesome that professor was. Every day before class, like, he would give us words of motivation. He would tell us about countries he's been to, and through him we visited those countries. He would tell us about everything. Like, he was so involved in our lives that he impacted us so well,
right? So it wasn't even about the course that you guys were studying.
It wasn't about the course. Like, if I see that guy tomorrow, I'm still gonna... He found me on LinkedIn and sent me a message. And I was like, oh my God, you know? His name is Professor Esson. And he was really, really good. He was really good. And I really appreciate him for that. He was a teacher with class. And when I say class, I don't mean pedigree. He has that as well. But he came with a personality. And he brought more to it than, you know. So always think about the full picture when you think about stuff. And stay pumped. Stay ready. All right. I'll talk to you guys on the next episode. Until then, have an amazing rest of the day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hi, my name is Dr. Ozi, and I'm the host of this podcast, The Tales of an African Princess in America podcast. I moved to the United States as an international student. I got my PhD, and then I self-petitioned for a green card under the Employment-Based Second Preference National Interest Waiver category, or the EB2 NIW category. So I moved directly from an F1 visa to a green card. I applied for a green card during my OPT training as a postdoctoral fellow, and I did not need a sponsor, nor did I employ the services of any lawyers, so I saved thousands of dollars. I've put together an ebook to guide individuals who qualify for the EB2 NIW category to successfully self-petition for their green cards. This ebook contains all the information you're going to need to self-petition for your green card. It contains ready-to-use templates like cover letters, petition letters, recommendation letters, as well as information on all the documents you're going to need to apply for your green card under the EB2 NIW category. To grab a copy of this ebook, visit our website at www.talesofanafricanprincessinamerica.com/immigration. You can send an email to talesbydrozi@gmail.com. You can also find information about this ebook in the show notes of this episode. Hey listener, what do you think about this episode? Do you have a question or some feedback that you would like to provide, or a suggestion for a future guest? Now you can send me a voice message. Voice messages are an easy way for you to send me audio messages that just might end up on a future episode of the podcast. You can send me a voice message right now just by clicking on the link in my show notes. Can't wait to hear from you.